attention, please.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast. Tune into The Drive 3 until 6 p.m. weekdays on the Sports Hub.
I love it. It's brilliant.
None of us in sports media, on radio, or on television have the medical credentials to talk about Kevin Durant's Achilles or Cam Newton's shoulder. So we're going to bring in one of the best sports orthopedists in the region to talk about KD and Cam in just a little bit. But we have to look at this headline first that, quite frankly, is a heavy blow to this show. And quite frankly, I hope it isn't true, but according to reports, Paul Pierce will not be brought back on ESPN's NBA Countdown in addition to Michelle Beadle and Chauncey Billups. Pierce, the last few months, he's been one of our biggest content generators this spring, and even though he says crazy things from time to time, I'm going to miss him. It's hard to be interesting as a studio analyst. Like, let's go through the list. Let's go through the list of interesting sports analysts who are asked to sit on pregame shows, postgame shows, and say interesting things, who do that successfully, who are consistently, even if they're wrong at points, people react one way or another to what they have to say. The short list for me goes Charles Barkley 1, Kirk Herbstreit 2. Nobody in the NFL moves me either way. Nobody in baseball the same way. Baseball had that with Pete Rose, but they got rid of him. Then they threw A-Rod into a booth. So, how many other people are interesting in that role? Paul Pierce, he's an interesting guy. He won a ring. And he was really climbing up the ranks quickly in terms of building a name for himself. That's hard to do. If he leaves ESPN, he's got Fox written all over him, this guy. Because whenever you get less exposure, you're naturally going to throw out more opinions out there. You're always competing to say the thing. So everyone tries to one-up each other. I'm seeing some folks on Fox today say that Kevin Durant's injury is not only going to change his career forever, but it's going to change the NBA forever. It's happened to so many guys who have left ESPN, which is the biggest sports hub, excuse the pun, that you're going to find. So with less exposure somewhere else, you're just going to ramp up the hot takes. That's what happened with Whitlock. That's what happened with Bayless. That's what happened with Broussard. That happened with many people who have left ESPN and gone somewhere else with less exposure. So I'm not sure if Paul Pierce is going to be leaving ESPN, but I find it interesting that after just a year and change, he's off the Countdown crew. They're not going to bring him back after this year, according to these reports. He's really one of the two guys I've enjoyed on that show for the last 10 years. Him and Bill Simmons. They got rid of Simmons for being too opinionated, and I don't know why they're getting rid of Paul Pierce. Probably because he's wrong and he gets made fun of a lot. Which is fine. I don't think that's a negative thing. I think that's kind of what you want. Charles Barkley's wrong all the time. He said Portland was going to beat Golden State if they didn't have Kevin Durant. And, of course, Golden State swept the Blazers. That stuff really doesn't matter. I have a conspiracy theory with this. See if you'll welcome this. The NBA has a massive television deal with ESPN. Is it possible that they see the finals product? The finals are on ABC, ESPN. You know that TNT would do anything to land the finals. That the NBA, quite frankly, just said, we don't like Paul Pierce. Put somebody else on there. How many people in NBA broadcasting aren't expendable? I think the list goes Charles Barkley and that's it. I don't think anybody else isn't expendable. So maybe they didn't like the fact that Paul Pierce said ridiculous things from time to time and did so on the biggest product that the NBA has to offer. But putting that aside, he created a lot of great content for us the last few months. So let's pay tribute to him the only way we know how. Let's remember the last few months. Paul Pierce on ESPN's NBA Countdown.
In the arms of the
and welcome to NBA Countdown from upstairs here at Scotiabank Arena, along with former Toronto Raptor Chauncey Billups.
Yes,
there on the end, former Raptor Jalen Rose. And an international incident waiting to happen. Paul Pierce to
Chauncey
my right.
Chauncey was a Raptor also.
Okay, so we're going to start the show with you not listening to me.
Who's the better NBA player?
That's easy. I can say that off the bat. That's me. If you give me Shaq, if you give me LeBron,
they did. Call the big three.
We got that late, but like early in my career.
I think Steve Kerr right now is one of the top five coaches.
Top five.
All time. All time.
Paul here, 11 years ago today. Wheelchaired off the floor for reasons he will keep to himself.
I have a confession to make.
Whoa.
I just had to go to a bathroom.
Number two. But why did you need a wheelchair to get to the bathroom?
It was that bad.
It was something went down. I had to go to
the bathroom. Oh.
You were streaking.
Okay, anywho.
As a team, I don't know where Milwaukee goes from here. Because
Whoa. So is this over?
No, listen, I think it's over. When I watch this today, if Giannis doesn't have a monster game and somebody else besides him doesn't step up, Boston is just going to out-talent them.
I'm going to miss him, man. I'm going to miss Paul. You know, even though Boston did not overpower Milwaukee, instead Milwaukee won 4 in a row. And even though he's not better than Dwayne Wade, despite, you know, facts. I'm going to miss him. 336-777-1600 if you want in on today's show. At Sports Hub Triad on Twitter, Desmond Johnson is taking your calls at 777-1600. And intern Aaron is here interning today. Yes, Des.
You know I hate Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
See you, Paul. Bye.
Well, I mean,
get out of here.
How many guys in that position across sports are interesting? You can hate Paul Pierce, but there aren't many people in that position we're talking about on this show who are creating content for us. There's Barkley, there's maybe Corso and Herb Street, and that's it. I don't think there's anybody else in football who does that. I don't think there's anybody in baseball. There was Pete Rose. We enjoyed that. That was like a meteor flying through the sky. There's nobody else.
I mean, I do respect the fact that I don't necessarily hate him as an on-air personality. I hate him as a basketball player, and that's just more from him being selfish than anything else.
During the finals, on television, network TV, that he pooped his pants.
He did.
He did that.
Yeah.
And he started the NBA Finals by not listening to Michelle Beadle, who was sitting 2 feet away from him. Just not listening to the first 15 seconds of the broadcast. I respect the man for how interesting and compelling he was. And we have a lot of basketball we're going to do today.
He's not dead.
He's dead to me. Now that he's not going to be in consciousness and he's probably going to leave ESPN and go somewhere else if the reports are true, he's going to say crazy things because that's the only way you can get people to talk about you nowadays. It's a shame. A lot of basketball. Sharif Abdur-Rahim is the G League commissioner. He's in the triad today. So we'll catch up with him at some point. Look forward to that, however, and wherever you are listening, appreciate that. You can find the best of podcasts available in SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. A lot of former player talk today. I'm not sure if we're going to be dating ourselves or isolating anybody, but Sharif Abdur-Rahim is in a pretty significant job currently as the G League commissioner, but he's a former player. I think he was on the 2000 Sydney Olympics team for the United States. So, he certainly qualifies as a good former player. Paul Pierce, of course. And Nick Van Exel. He flew into the news today. While riding a golf cart, he broke some major news, and Nick Van Exel was upset.
Yo, what's up? I'm a little iced coffee this morning. Just want to let everybody know I'm on Twitter followers, everybody that's in my phone, my friends, my family. Real disappointed in y'all that y'all didn't let me know about iced coffee before, so real disappointed. But since it tastes so good, I forget y'all.
Dick Van Exel there, forgiving his family members and friends who nice coffee. Crazier that he's never had, probably in his 40s now, or the fact he believes iced coffee is the best drink he's ever had. Like, it's not even the best kind of coffee. I'm not a big coffee drinker, but hot coffee better than iced coffee. It just is. Even when it's hot outside, I prefer the hot coffee versus the cold coffee.
You know, now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever had iced coffee before because I hate hot coffee, so I've never even wanted to try cold or iced coffee. But
can we do this
disgusting on
today's show?
Sure.
Can we find a way to get iced coffee to Desmond Johnson and figure this out? Intern Aaron, could you possibly, maybe, or somebody else in the office, see who else is around here. Can you go down the street and get Des an iced coffee?
Where's
can
the closest,
we please do this?
Is there not a coffee shop in this building?
There might be a coffee shop in this building. I know there's one right down the street. There's coffee places all over the place.
I wonder if Giada's has it downstairs.
Maybe. Let's get Des an iced coffee. Let's work on that. The Drive is broadcast live in the law offices of Timothy D. Wellborn Studios. You can learn more about Tim Wellborn and the ways they can help you out on their website, timwellborn.com. That sports orthopedist that literally wrote the book on sports injuries that have impacted sports is Dr. David Geyer, Wake Forest graduate. I think he practices it. He will join us in a short while to fill us in on Cam Newton, fill us in on Kevin Durant. Of course, we'll chat with Sharif Abdur-Rahim. We'll try to get Des an iced coffee before things are all said and done as well. And I didn't watch The Bachelorette live last night because I was watching that Booksmart movie, but got the DVR going, and man, a lot in our Bachelor Minute today to do. But we know who the Hard Knocks team is going to be for this fall. That's been made official. We'll tell you who that is. And also, what would it look like if the Panthers ever hosted Hard Knocks? That's next on The Drive.
Come on! This is The Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
The moment I saw Kevin Durant go down and grab his Achilles, leaving Game 5 of the NBA Finals, then we saw Cam Newton throwing yesterday morning as the Panthers open minicamp. The first person I thought of that I wanted to speak to is our next guest, Dr. David Geyer, author, sports orthopedist, somebody who can give us the medical details that, quite frankly, pretty much everybody in the media lacks when they talk about the implications of injuries, such as Kevin Durant. And we're seeing a lot of opinions thrown left and right on what this means for the Warriors, what this means for KD's career. And with Cam Newton, who we learned this week has been throwing for the last month, according to Albert Breer. We only learned about it just 2 weeks ago. And he's throwing in one spot and isn't throwing further than 15 yards. Dr. David Geyer, you can find on Twitter as well. Follow him at Dr. David Geyer, G-E-I-E-R. Kind enough to spend some time with us in the triad this afternoon. Dr. Geyer, what was your first thought when you saw KD go down?
When I saw it, and I, to be fair, saw it as a replay. I didn't see it live. And actually, my son texted me. He's like, uh-oh, he got hurt again. And he sent me a clip of it. I just assumed, and I actually warned my son about this. He's like, what's the risk of him playing? And I said, it's that he gets hurt again. But what I expected to happen was not that he injured his Achilles, but would just re-injure the calf muscle above it. And so my initial thought was, all right, he re-injured his calf. This is going to be another 6 to 8 weeks, but that heals. It sounds like we're about to hear, and we've started to hear, that it's actually much worse than that.
Bob Myers, first thing he said, the general manager of the Warriors, was that it's a different injury. It's the Achilles, not the calf. Do you buy that explanation, considering your background, or do you sense a little bit of disingenuousness when referencing this? Because of how linked they seem to be?
So it's a tough question, and I'm going to take everything that they've been saying at face value. You know, without being involved, I am just going to assume that it's been a calf injury all along. And I've never really been suspicious of that because calf injuries are really painful and they take a long time. Everybody thought, oh, there's got to be more to it. You know, that should heal quickly. Those don't heal quickly. That's 4 weeks minimum, but sometimes 6 weeks or even 8 weeks. So that doesn't surprise me. And I don't think he's necessarily wrong here in this sense. The calf and the Achilles are related. It's the same sort of muscle complex, but they're in different locations. But I think the challenge is, and we can talk about, you know, should they or should they not have let him play, but there's no question it's linked. I mean, if he had never had the calf injury, yeah, you can tear your Achilles, you know, out of the blue like Kobe did, but I don't think that's what happened. I think that this is absolutely linked to the primary injury.
Dr. David Guyer is someone home to the Carolinas. You still practice in Charleston, Dr. Guyer?
I do, yeah. I went to Wake Forest, as we've talked about before, for undergrad. But, yeah, now I'm in Charleston, South Carolina,
yeah. And you can find his book, That's Gotta Hurt, which he's literally written about the injuries that have affected sports the most. So if you're interested in the topic, that's a great book that you can find where books are sold. If KD's 32 the next time he plays basketball, what version of KD might we see coming back, considering what you know about injuries such as the Achilles, if it is the Achilles?
Yeah, and where he grabbed it absolutely looks like an Achilles. And the thing about an Achilles, I know they're saying they're going to get an MRI. I'm sure they are getting an MRI, but you know when you examine somebody if the Achilles torn, there's like a big defect, a big gap between one end and the other. It's very obvious. So, and the fact that they were saying it was an Achilles, they know it's a torn Achilles. Having said that, here's the bad news, and this is somewhat related to him, you know, being 30 now, and then as you referenced, he'll take probably all of next season off. The problem with an Achilles rupture, this has been studied among NBA players, this is a rough, rough injury. A third of players get back to play at the same level they were, which is great, and hopefully that happens with KD. A third of the players after Achilles surgery get back, but they're never quite the same, and then a third never get back to play at all. Those numbers are really discouraging. Hopefully he'll be in the third that gets back as good as he was, but again, you mentioned his age. It's just really tricky. Fortunately, he's not a power player. He's not Giannis or Russell Westbrook, so it may not affect him as much, but when you're looking at max contracts and all that kind of thing, it's certainly cause for concern.
Let's move things over to Cam Newton very quickly because, like I mentioned, he's been throwing the last month or so, and it might be a little bit different of a throwing motion, but that's football-related things. What we know is it's the second operation that's been performed on the shoulder, and the biggest difference between this one and 2017, I think, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, is the timing of it, where he had it taken care of in January this time versus March in 2017. Cam didn't participate, throw in minicamp in 2017, but in the last month, again, he feels strong enough to throw a regulation-sized football overhand and to throw it at the length of 15 yards or so. So when you hear that, what does that tell you about the state of his shoulder?
I'm actually fairly encouraged. I know that sounds worrisome when you hear, oh, he's only throwing 15 yards. Is there a reason that he can't throw further? But I think that they're trying to avoid flaring it up. The good news with this all along, you mentioned January, that's absolutely good news, more time to recover. But even more importantly, when the surgeon went in there, by all reports out of the NFL, what that surgeon found is that the rotator cuff tendon and repair, you know, the work he had before was still intact. They just had to clean it up, meaning there was some fraying of it that was probably pinching inside his shoulder when he'd do overhead motions, you know, cocking his arm back to throw, that kind of thing. And so by only having to clean it up and not reattaching it with stitches and anchors, that timeline went from essentially a year recovery to, you know, 3 to 4 months. And so I think that would be about right. He's throwing about at the timeline you would expect at this point. And that doesn't worry me that he's only throwing certain positions and certain distances. They will gradually increase that. They'll move the directions around and things like that as he goes, so that he builds the strength appropriately without flaring it up and setting himself back weeks or even a month or two.
How much more susceptible is Cam's shoulder to re-injury now that this is the second time it's been operated on?
Yeah, that's the trick, is that it's hard to know. There's sort of two things you worry about. One, he's, you know, a throwing athlete, and that motion is not sort of a normal motion on those rotator cuff tendons. And somebody that's had, you know, two surgeries, and the most recent of which just cleaning that area up, it's not like a quarterback that's never had a shoulder injury, a rotator cuff injury. His risk would be much lower than Cam's. I don't know that he's at risk necessarily for re-tearing it, but I think it's not inconceivable for him to have, you know, soreness periodically. You'll probably off and on see him throughout the season sitting out some practices to give his shoulder some rest. I don't think you'll see a game change unless he has a specific injury, but it would not surprise me if he sits certain practices out to give him time to rest and things like that. And we may hear, maybe even see him listed on the injury reports during the week as sort of a precautionary measure. I think we will hear about it throughout the season. I don't think it's going to limit his on-field performance, though.
It's sports orthopedist Dr. David Geyer on Twitter at Dr. David Geyer, at Dr. David Geyer. And the book is That's Gotta Hurt. I want to let you in on a topic that we've been talking about today that's a little bit more everyman here. Are you a coffee drinker by chance?
I am, actually. I've cut back, but in fact, my team was laughing at me before surgery because I had a cup of coffee before we started surgeries today.
Well, Nick Van Exel really sparked things. The former basketball player, he had something to say on the golf course earlier today. This is what it was.
Yo, what's up? What's up? I'm a little iced coffee this morning. Just want to let everybody know, all my Twitter followers, everybody that's in my phone, my friends, my family. Real disappointed in y'all that y'all didn't let me know about iced coffee before. So, real disappointed. But since it tastes so good, I'll forget y'all. Peace.
Iced coffee or hot coffee? Dr. David Geyer, what say you?
I like hot coffee. I'm kind of the traditionalist, even in the warm weather. All my friends are iced coffee, though, so at some point I probably need to give it a try.
I'm right there with you. Our intern, or Aaron, who works on this show, came in and he brought us some iced coffee that we're going to have in just a bit, and we'll figure this. We'll get to the bottom of this, but appreciate the insight in the meantime and you squeezing in some time for us. Thank you.
Anytime. Really appreciate it, as always, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You got it. That's Dr. David Geyer. And again, pick up the book. I've read it. It's a very good book. If you're interested, it's just another angle on sports. And it provides expertise that, quite frankly, nobody else in the media is giving you. I don't care what podcast you're listening to or what show you have. There aren't many people who have medical credentials who could give you the insight and the specifics of what these injuries look like in a way that's not squeamish, that's not going to hurt squeamish people. And also, just very insightful stuff. There. So we have the iced coffees in studio. We have that here. We're going to get to the bottom of this. This red-hot debate that you can chime in on. 336-777-1600. Hot coffee or iced coffee? On Twitter at Sports Hub Triad. And on top of that, a player in the NBA Finals who played college basketball right here in the Carolinas and might be the most important player in this series who hasn't logged a minute in any of these games. This is The Drive.
This is The Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920.
Serious talk.
Talk, talk, talk.
And I like it.
Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
There is a college basketball player from the Carolinas, who's now in the NBA, who you've never heard of, that's impacting Warriors-Raptors, who I'll tell you about in a second. But first, this tweet from Tyrannosaurus Flex. When I'm not bench-pressing your mom's Toyota Corolla or buying shell-shaded flat-brim hats, I'm downing iced coffees like my Hummer H2 downs fossil fuels. Desmond Johnson claims to have never had iced coffee before, so Aaron went and ran and grabbed some right here in Kernersville, where our studio's at, and he's brought some in studio. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I've had iced coffee before. I have one in hand right now, and Desmond's about to try one too, and this could be disastrous results, like when we did the Coca-Cola orange vanilla soda that one time.
Ugh.
And it actually didn't taste bad, but it was just very over-the-top sugary, and it was a lot
of sugar. Bad aftertaste.
It just left me and you, that last hour of the show, super vibing.
Yeah.
Like, we were reverberating and shaking, and it was a strange result. So that could happen here. Have you taken a sip of the iced coffee yet, which Nick Van Exel earlier today tried and said was the best drink he's ever had?
I have not. I've been saving it. Aaron came back in with the drinks here. I want to say that there's a coffee shop down the street that missed a golden opportunity for a shout-out on the drive, but Aaron didn't tell him that he was coming from the drive, so they didn't know any better. So,
well, it's fine.
I told him he should have came in. I didn't want
anything free. Just go and pay for your coffee. It's fine.
Could have went in like, hey, I'm intern Aaron from The Drive with Josh Graham Monday through Friday on Sports Hub.
It probably would have worked. It's fine, though. Like, see, this is the difference between me and Dez here. Dez, he's going to try an angle and get the free stuff.
You damn right.
I don't care. Dez is the person who goes to the movie theater, walks in, and sees that the screen isn't playing like the previews or isn't playing like the advertisements before, and uses that as an opportunity to get free tickets at movies.
Nah, I'm not like that, but I have family members that are, and that actually drives me nuts when they do that kind of thing. I'm the kind of person where the service can be horrible, I'm still going to tip you $5.
So, well, that's fair.
I mean, you know, I'm all just...
Right. That's fine. I'm going to do the play-by-play very quickly. Dez taking his first sip ever in 41 years of life. Iced coffee.
How did you order this? Did you say, I want iced coffee, and they just gave it to you? Or was
it my
special
first
blends?
Time ordering iced coffee, yeah. So I had no idea how
so
it
you
worked.
Just Wait. I want to know. What is this? Hold one sec. Everyone calm down. I want to know what this interaction sounded like. You walked up to this guy who I'd like to picture probably. Is it a smaller place?
Yeah, it's a tiny spot.
Yes, the guy probably has a beard.
He looks like he owns the joint. There was pictures of him on the wall, winning awards and stuff.
Ah, so nice. You know that's a good thing. If there's pictures of the person serving you the coffee on the wall, that is a good sign. So you walk up to this man, and what do you say to him?
Well, I'm an observant cat, so I don't try to make a fool of myself. So I observed the menu before approaching the counter.
Good man.
And noticed there were several variations of iced beverages.
Right. So which one do you choose?
Right. Exactly. At that point, I started to panic like, oh, no. I left my phone.
You left your phone
I
here?
I left my phone. I can't call for
I
help.
I just know you took my card, and then I get a receipt in my email saying that I know you went there.
Yeah, like, oh, Aaron made it.
I just got a receipt here.
Honestly, I was worried when I looked at your card and saw your picture on it. I was like, oh, this is not going to happen.
Wait, you think somebody's going to mistake you for me?
I'm like, this is going to, he's going to look at my card and be like, man, I can't see these coffees.
Go probably have KPD down there.
I don't think you're Josh.
Yeah.
And I look a little different.
Right. Wait right here at the front counter, sir.
I think it's just the hair.
He's going to have to go to the back to get the coffees real quick.
Oh, my gosh. The show would have changed drastically.
Calling us from jail. I'm
so glad I asked this question. So what did you say to the man?
So I walk up and I just say, hey, I need two Lars iced coffees. I'm guessing that would be the two ice brews. He's like, yeah, that's about right. And he goes, you want them with cream? And I'm like, oh, man, I don't know.
You should have just said with cream, yes.
I have no idea, so actually.
Do you not know if cream is in this coffee?
Some people like black coffee. But we did agree on just a dollop of cream, to be specific.
So there's some cream
a dollop.
In there.
Okay, that's good.
So there's a little bit of sweetness.
All right, so we know what we're dealing with now. Let's see Desmond Johnson. Let's find out together what Des is going to think. Oh, that's good for radio. You're just shaking it up near the microphone.
Shake that ice up in there.
That's a good sign. Dez trying iced tea. Dez or iced coffee, dramatic. Excuse me, for the first time.
I mean, what's caffeine
so
in here?
Dramatic, Dez. All right,
he's here we go. Staring at it. Now he's put the straw against his lips. He's taken a sip. And oh, the first reaction's not good. He's jerked his head backwards. He's making a sick look on his face. Dez does not seem to like what he's just tasted.
Tastes like mud, doesn't it?
Tastes like feet.
How would you know what that tastes like?
Tastes like what feet smells like. It's like I
that
like
makes
I,
no sense.
It tastes like I just sucked on a coffee bag, like a bag. Oh,
I'd hope
beans.
So.
Like
they had flavors, but I didn't. There's just a straight up coffee cream ice.
Dez does not like what he's tasting.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Iced coffee or hot coffee? 336-777-1600. At Sports Hub Triad, this show is going to change
Desmond
with every single sip he has of that iced coffee.
He's contemplating life right now.
Right. In the meantime, okay, so let me get to this player who's impacting the finals that you probably have not heard of. It's a former basketball player from the Southern Conference, not UNC Greensboro, unfortunately. It's Furman. And I'm talking about Jordan Lloyd. Jordan Lloyd hasn't played a minute of these NBA finals, but his role has been to stand in during practice and mimic Steph Curry. He's been the one during practice trying to give the Raptors a good look at what they're supposed to expect when going head-to-head. He hasn't played more than 12 minutes in a game this year with the Raptors. He did help them a lot in their G League franchise. And apparently, Lloyd has done a really good job of emulating Curry. Lloyd told Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, "It's hard for me to even catch the ball. I can't imagine what it's like for Steph. He's 6'4", 220 pounds, so he kind of looks the part. But it's a player from Furman who is mimicking Steph Curry at practice as a scout for the Toronto Raptors. And speaking of Canada, Canada needs to check itself. Canada TV criticizing the U.S. women's national team yesterday. They scored 13 goals, and you know what they did during most of those, after most of those goals? They celebrated. They were happy. Alex Morgan doing the most gangster thing you can do when scoring 5 goals. Doing a count on your fingers. You just scored, and she did the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 goals for Alex Morgan. And Megan Rapinoe did one of those slides after she made it 9 or 10 to nothing. And Canada was having none of it. We tried to find this audio, but apparently it's hard to clear audio from Canada. So this was what was said. "I understand there's a goal differential race in this tournament. I understand they're nervous about the idea of drawing Sweden later in the tournament. But this was disgraceful from the United States. I would have hoped they could have won with humility and grace. But celebrating with 8, 9, 10 goals the way they were is really unnecessary." End quote. Man, Canada, they hate celebrating in sports. They really do. I mean, the only thing missing from this Canadian soccer analyst was calling the U.S. national team a bunch of jerks. That's right. The U.S. women's national team has turned into the Carolina Hurricanes. Like, here's what it would have sounded like if Don Cherry was asked what his opinion was of the U.S. women's national team celebrating while leading 13 to nothing.
So why are you mad at Carolina?
All right, now listen, let's listen. This is the National Hockey League. Brenda Moore is a good coach. These guys, to me, are jerks. You have to do this in the National. They're still not drawn. This is to me, and I'll tell you one thing, they better not do this in the playoff. What I don't understand is Brenda Moore is a street shooter. He always was. This is a joke. The rest of the guys, young men expressing themselves for joy of winning. You don't do this thing in the net. It's professional hockey. One of these guys are jerks or something. And I'll tell you one thing. They do this in the playoffs, making fun of the other team.
But nobody's out on the ice. The game's over. I admit, I always liked your theory of when you celebrate when you win only. That's why you liked Muhammad Ali, whereas Sugar Ray Leonard did the
before. Now, you don't. If you want to do it before. But that is absolutely ridiculous. I know the rest of the people. I know all the broadcasters and everything are afraid to say something like that. They're jerks doing it.
We kind of like it.
I know you. Well, you're looking. The weatherman. You know what I mean? I know what I'm talking about. You never do anything like that. They're still not drawn. They're a bunch of jerks as far as I'm concerned.
The analogy almost stood up, but it still is some of the greatest audio that's ever been produced. Joy of winning. Look at them, so excited.
Expressing themselves,
excited, the joy of winning.
I have a question.
I'm Don Cherry, and I hate celebrating and having fun in sports.
I have a question, and it's actually related to gender.
What's your question?
In terms of this.
Oh, don't ask this question. I know what you're going.
Do you know where I'm going?
Would people care if it were the men?
Not would they care. Would this be an issue?
Yes.
Because when 1992, the Dream Team was blowing out everybody on the planet and everyone was cheering for them to score more. People were getting beside them, taking photographs, getting autographs.
If the United States men's team were up 10, 11, 12 to nothing and celebrating, it would be a story. People would care. The same way Don Cherry is lamenting and getting mad at the Carolina Hurricanes team after games have ended. It's going to happen. I don't view this. There's many areas I do welcome the gender inequality thing and gender double standard. This is not one of those places.
What are they supposed to do? You've played soccer. How do you tone it down? What are they supposed to do
it back? I do like Alex Morgan firing back today. Alex Morgan, she turned the entire story on its head saying, it would be disrespectful to Thailand if we eased up.
Yeah.
Wow. That's real controlling of the message right there, Alex Morgan. No, this is always going to happen. It's fine. Sports is an entertainment vehicle. I'm glad Jill Ellis stood up for them. I'm glad she said, you know what? We're not going to lay off. This is the World Cup. We've been waiting 4 years for this. This is the pinnacle of the profession. Stop us from scoring. My perspective on this is the same way it was for Max Muncy hitting the home run off of Madison Bumgarner and watching it. If you don't want me to watch it, if you don't want me to hit the ball into McCovey Cove, you can dig it out of the ocean. Thinking in hindsight on that quote, by the way, it doesn't really make much sense, does it? Hey, if you don't want me to hit a home run, how about you pull it out of the water? That doesn't really check out.
Yeah, that's like a...
It almost was a great line.
Almost got it.
But that didn't really make much sense. But we just kind of accepted it because in that sport, you don't really see much trash being talked. You don't see much shade being thrown. But if I'm the United States, I take it over the top next time. The next game. I'm going only Brandi Chastain celebration.
I'm just ripping
off the jersey after every single goal and taking the yellow card.
Did any of this bother you watching it?
No. Well,
I know we're Americans. We're on the winning side.
I didn't watch any of it because I was in here getting interrupted by you every single segment yesterday.
To our defense, we didn't know that they were going to score 13 times.
No.
That was a little abnormal.
Before the show, we thought it would be a funny concept. We said, how about we interrupt you, Josh, every time the United States scores? That would be great. That's fine. Because again, go USA. Maybe it'll happen once, twice. 13 times?
It's like they heard us. They're like, challenge accepted.
We need to keep Canada in check. We need to put Canada on notice. I'm not going as far as Clay Travis did this morning saying that we need to bomb Canada.
What?
I don't think we need to do that. But they might be taking our basketball championship. They've already taken one of our superheroes. Ryan Reynolds is a superhero. The superheroes should be American.
In a manner of speaking.
Superheroes should be American, and we're losing all of them. We've lost Batman. We've lost Spider-Man to Andrew Garfield. Friendly Europeans. We lost Batman to Robert Pattinson, for God's sake.
I consider him more vampire than
we're
Nathan.
Losing superheroes. We're losing basketball championships. And we're not going to lose the championship fight here. We're just not. You are listening to WSJS Winston-Salem, WPC in Burlington, WMFR High Point, WCOG Greensboro. All those signals making up the Triad Sports Hub.
One, two, three, here we go. Ow!
This is the Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
Former NBA player and G League Commissioner Sharif Abdur-Rahim will join us in just a second. A reminder that The Drive is brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks, the perfect place to watch the NBA Finals as they're on wall-to-wall TVs. And also, it's a legendary sports watching experience when you're there on Haynesville Boulevard. The 29-degree draft beer pouring from every tap. You'll feel like an MVP the moment you walk in. I just love it when they have the frosting right on the top of it because you know it's that cold. And there's nothing better this time of year than a cold beer and the game on. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views. A lot of things we want to talk to Sharif Abdur-Rahim about, including his experience with the U.S. basketball team in the Sydney Olympics back in 2000. It's crazy to think Vince Carter dunked that basketball 19 years ago, and he's still playing professional basketball. He's going to break a record this year. Right now, Vince is tied with guys like Dirk Nowitzki and Kevin Garnett playing 21 years in the NBA. If he gets picked up by somebody, that still needs to happen. Vince Carter will play his 22nd season in the NBA, something that nobody's ever done in league history. So there's history in that way, but the dunk is something I think that's going to be forever remembered. And of course, once again, Sharif was on that team. So we'll ask him about that. Maybe we'll talk to him about iced coffee too. And in addition, Kevin Durant being injured. Everyone seems to have a thought on that today. We still don't know for sure if it's a ruptured Achilles, but Bob Myers isn't up there crying at a podium if it's just a sprain. So we'll get the details on that when ultimately they come out. But mostly I want to talk about the fact that the G League's been in the headlines in recent weeks with comments from the NBA commissioner Adam Silver, and Sharif Abdur-Rahim is visiting Greensboro, I understand, for the first time as the G League commissioner. Commissioner, it's good to have you here. What brings you to town? Commissioner Abdur-Rahim, what brings you to town? I understand it's the first time you've been to Greensboro.
Correction, not the first time I've been to Greensboro. I've been to Greensboro a number of times. This is the first time I've been here in my capacity as president of the G League. So just excited to be here. Steve Cipolla and Seth Bennett with the Hornets and Swarm invited me here, and it worked out in my schedule that I could get here. So I'm excited to be here, one, and just here to support all that's going on with the Greensboro Swarm.
I want to talk to you about the league in whole, though, a little bit, because Adam Silver said a few weeks ago, talking about one of the top high school prospects, speaking about R.J. Hampton, who decided to go to Australia, said he's a little bit jealous because in our league, the G League, we're trying to create our own professional track. He said he wanted to talk to you about that, and that was a few weeks ago. So on that specific topic, what conversations have you and Adam had about what you want the future of the G League to look like?
Well, we think it's one, and I won't go into specifics about our conversations, but I would say, in general, we want to be the place and the platform for the development of all young talent. What you've seen is that the basketball community, just over the last couple of years, in response to some of the things that were going on in the elite high school space, asked that there be an option for elite high school kids to have a place to go if they didn't want to go to college. We've created that with our professional path program. However, it isn't something that we've started recruiting young people. And we'll continue to look at it and get an understanding if it's the best option or if we have the best amenities for the young players, but we do have an opportunity for young players to come to our league. We think our league is the second best league in the world. We think we have unbelievable coaches with unbelievable experience. Here with the Swarm, you have Joe Wolf, who not only had an unbelievable college career with USC Tar Heels, but also played in the NBA, has coached in the NBA for double digit years. I can't imagine a kid having a better, first professional coach than someone like Coach Wolf. So, that's what we're, currently offering, but is more to come, and we have more work to do around accommodating our young players.
But I want to make sure to clarify what exactly you and the NBA's stance is on the G League. You don't view college basketball as a competitor, but instead you just want to be the best option for prospects. You want to retain some of the prospects who choose to not go the college route, to go professional?
Yeah, what we've offered is to say, if you are a young person that, you know, decide, look, I want to start my professional career early. We want to have an option and be an option for that young person. So, you know, we've, you know, increased a salary for a select contract player. We have a committee that, you know, would, you know, evaluate the player to see if he meets the standard of a prospective NBA player. And we would offer him that contract if he was interested. We have, you know, what's in place of, you know, a development plan, on-court development plan for the young person. You know, all of our G League teams now have dedicated player development or development personnel that's off-court, life skill type. We also have a partnership with Arizona State University, whereas if the young person wanted to start their education, in addition to starting their professional career, they could start taking classes. So we have a robust program. It's not in competition to, you know, trying to compete against the Dukes or North Carolinas or Kentuckys. Is, you know, really around being a option for the young person, and, you know, in a place where we have that, where, you know, an elite high school kid would, you know, still pick something else over that, you know, it causes us to say, okay, still in our first year, you know, just the first year that we've had this program, it causes us to look and say, okay, what could we be doing differently? What should we be doing differently?
G League Commissioner Sharif Abdur-Rahim with us here on The Drive. You are listening to the Sports
Hub. Correction, again, G League President.
G League President, excuse me.
There's only one commissioner, so G League President.
if the one and done is eliminated, which is something that Adam Silver's talked about wanting to see happen maybe by 2021, 2022, if that comes to be, what do you think, what impact do you think that's going to be on the G League?
Well, I think our league gets younger. You know, you see now that over 50% of NBA players have spent some time in the G League. In last year's draft, so 2018 draft, I think the number is something like 60% of, you know, of the 2018 draft picks spent time in the G League. So, you know, our league is getting, you know, younger and younger. You know, if you change that rule, I think that, you know, ushers in an even younger cohort of players. As a league, we have to be prepared for those players.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, Vince Carter was in the news in recent weeks. He wants to play another season of basketball, which is crazy because he's played 21 years,
yeah,
Sharif, and he's trying to break a record and go for 22.
Vince and I are the same age. We're the same high school class. We played against each other in the McDonald's game.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the office every day wearing suits, and he's still playing basketball.
Tell me this, though. You were on the 2000 team that played in Sydney at the U.S. for U.S. basketball. He had the dunk that everybody still talks about today. What do you remember specifically about that dunk, that game, that locker room, the hype that followed?
It was just how fast it happened and then how hard Kevin Garnett pushed him after the dunk. When you're in moments like that, rarely do you realize just how significant they are. And right away, you know, you knew, like, okay, that's something that we'll see and be talking about for a long, long time. It was that amazing that you knew right away that, okay, we'll see that, you know, countless times. That will be the play of the Olympics, if you will.
G League President Sharif Abdur-Rahim kind enough to spend some time with us this afternoon in Greensboro. Before we let you go, it's just been confirmed by KD on his social media that he ruptured his Achilles, and it's a real shame to see something like that happen. But as a former player, what do you make of all the finger-pointing that seems to be happening the last 2 days about who's to blame for KD going down?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's really sad. You know, you see a player you know, his talent or any player, you know, injure themselves and want to injure themselves that significantly. You know, no one, you know, we don't have all the information. You know, I think ultimately, you know, he made, you know, a decision to play. He was willing to put himself out there and sacrifice himself. And, you know, it shows, you know, just the commitment that he has to that team and his, you know, his spirit and his will. You know, you wish him for a speedy and complete recovery, and you know he'll, you know, just with technology and science and everything, that he'll get back to, you know, where he was, you know, in this season, and you know, possibly even better. But you know, to say, you know, who was at blame, that is, I'm not sure that anyone was at blame.
I saved the most important thing for last. Nick Van Exel was on a golf course earlier today, and he posted a video of himself drinking iced coffee. He said he was mad at family members and friends for not letting him know about iced coffee. He says it's the best drink he's ever had. Iced coffee or hot coffee, Sharif Abdur-Rahim?
Hot coffee. I have literally never had iced coffee.
Wow!
And I feel as though that's just totally against the purpose of coffee. Iced coffee.
Well, Sharif, I appreciate you spending some time with us and visiting Greensboro earlier today. I have it written down, president, so I actually just can't read. I butchered that, and I apologize. But I hope to catch up sometime soon.
No, I look forward to it. No problem. Thank you. I guess you gave me a promotion already. But, we'll stay as president right now.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it. That's Sharif Abdur-Rahim, G League president, not commissioner. I gave him a promotion. Things like that happen. I do have it written down, G League president instead of commissioner. Those are the things that bother me the most. You know that? You can attest to it behind the scenes.
What's that again?
When I have an opinion that someone doesn't like, or somebody doesn't think something's funny, I'm fine with that, taking swings. The things that bother me the most, more than anything else, is getting a fact wrong.
Yeah, you're pretty much a stickler for that type of thing. So
I don't know why I called him commissioner. I had president written down here. And
it's all right, buddy.
He called me on it.
He did.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. But he's never had iced coffee either, so Nick Van Exel tried it for the first time. Desmond Johnson tried it for the first time. We'll see if Sharif Abdur-Rahim follows that trend sometime soon. But it's time for a top 10 list. You know where we're headed with this? Any idea?
I never have a clue. I'm looking at this and I'm like, what are you doing?
Top
like,
I don't know how 10 to go. Sports injuries. Top 10 sports injuries. Next on The Drive.
I'm not a doer or a thinker. I'm more of a talker.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham, the Sports Hub, at AM 600, AM 920.
Injuries have been all the rage this week. Kevin Durant confirming on his social media that he's ruptured an Achilles. He's going to have surgery. On top of that, Cam Newton's back from his shoulder surgery, throwing footballs, and has been doing so for a month. So I'm about to list off my top 10 injuries. It's time for our weekly top 10 list, top 10 sports injuries. You could tweet in your guesses at Sports Hub Triad, and my dad is clearly listening right now because I just look at my phone, and I have three messages that, out of context, would be three very funny things to have texted your way. Groin pull, hammy, concussion.
Yeah.
Those are the three messages.
What's up, Mr. Graham? Giving you a shout out. Live from K-Vegas.
Hi, Dad. Top 10 list time. And what we've also been discussing as well is we need more sounds in this segment. Like, this segment really needs the laughter from Dez and Aaron to carry it. But when it's not there, they're not going to give us fake laughter because that's not what we do here. When it's not there, we need sounds for each and every one. Just how radio works, we need more sounds in addition to the bougie music that's played each and every week for this segment. So I've asked Dez to accrue sounds. And how many different sounds have you pulled just for these top 10 lists?
I have to warn the listeners that these are the most random sounds that I could potentially find. Probably about eight or nine different ones.
Just random noises.
Random.
That are going to play after each and every one of these top 10 sports injuries are read.
Sounds of approval.
All right. Or let's do the list. Top 10 sports injuries. Off to a clunky start. Number 10. My number 10 sports injury. Tommy John Wall.
It's actually pretty good.
What was that? That Michael Jackson? Let me hear that one more time. It is Michael Jackson. Number 9. My number 9 injury. Larry Bird flu.
Nice.
Thank you, whoever that was. I mean, it's a bad situation when you got the Larry Bird flu.
Larry Bird flu.
Remember when swine flu was the big thing 5 or 6 years ago? You didn't want the swine flu. It was in Texas.
Where did it go?
And Ebola.
Yeah, Ebola.
The summer of Ebola.
What happened to that? It disappeared.
No idea. We thought it was going to be the end of time. Ebola
dead.
And the swine flu. Any other ones that stick out in your lifetime? There was that rage with lettuce last year. Don't eat any lettuce.
There was just a thing a minute ago with like beef being recalled. I don't think they're checking our food anymore.
Number 8. My number 8 sports injury. Turf toe Montana.
Turf toe Montana.
Toe cool. Not to get it twisted. Toe cool. Throw into the back of the end zone to the now late Dwight Clark. Vin Scully on the call. A lot of people forget that. If you listen to that touchdown, it's Vin Scully calling the game back in 1981.
Gosh.
Him rolling out of the pocket. San Francisco getting ready to win its first Super Bowl. Number 7. My number 7 injury. Robert Plantar fasciitis.
I like that one. It's pretty good.
That's an injury that seems a lot more painful than it sounds. Like plantar fasciitis, you read it. Oh, that can't be that bad. But hearing the description of it from people who have had it, sounds like the worst.
Yeah, horrible.
Like, the worst place to be aching, can we agree, would probably be your back. Like, if you have back pain, it just ruins absolutely everything. But after that, what's the next place you do not want to be feeling pain?
Groin.
Good answer. Number 6! My number 6 sports injury. Murderer's rotator cuff.
I might not have gone with that one.
Murderer's rotator cuff. I mean, I'd be willing to ask, do you know who's in Murderer's Row?
No.
See, this is where the baseball fan would be good. It'd be good to know.
That was the Yankees, right?
Yeah, who was in the lineup?
It was in the 20s, so it was like Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig.
Yeah.
I'm missing somebody.
Tony Lazzari.
Yeah, that's why
Earl
I'm missing
Combs.
Yeah, him too. I got the two main guys.
You did get you got the two main ones. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Yes.
You named the Murderer's Row tater cup.
Whoa.
Number five. I don't know why I was talking like this.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know. It might be the iced coffee. Number 5. This is like Aaron's Marv Albert impression. Number 5.
A spectacular move.
Number five.
Like dueling Marv Alberts. What is this?
Number 5.
You have a little Harry Carey in yours, though.
Hi.
Well, hey.
If you were a hot dog and you were starving, would you eat yourself?
You should do the top 10 like this from now on.
Number 5.
So lively.
You could go Marv while he's doing
tennis elbow Jackson.
That's nice.
Is that MJ again?
Yeah.
This is so absurd. How do we find a way to make this segment more absurd than it already is?
I'm here for the whole Harry Carey with Marv Albert being the color commentator for the top 10 countdown,
like,
for the rest
Michael
of
Michael Jackson is should be canceled, but he's not on the top 10 list.
Michael Jackson is uncancelable.
Only fame. Number four. My number four sports injury. A ruptured Shaquille's.
Oh, that's good.
You don't want to deal with a ruptured Shaquille's. The worst injury you're ever going to deal with, Kobe. How's my ass taste, Kobe? Kobe. I'll rupture your Shaquille's.
Oh, no.
Number three. My number three injury. The Virginia Cavaliers. Got to watch out for the champs.
Yeah.
The Cavaliers. Number two. Really proud of this one. My number two sports injury. John ACLA.
Hey.
I see what you did there. Pretty good.
Number seven. Coming into the game. This one's for John ACLA. My number one sports injury is Mia hamstring.
That's actually top quality right there. I'm very, 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 very impressed.
Thank you so much. Really quickly, let me just blow through the ones that were on the outside looking in. Derek, lower body injury. Derek, lower body injury. Rick and keel sprain. A torn Achilles Smith.
Oh, no.
X-Ray Lewis.
Oh. Why did that not make top 10?
It's a pretty strong list this week. There were some other ones that were bad, like M.R. Iverson.
Ah, no.
Not great.
No.
Yeah. That's why I didn't make it.
Yeah.
I like John ACL way more than ACL Green.
ACL Green?
What about a microsurgery Ibaka?
Let's end the segment at the place where it started. My dad said, I get it now!
Aha!
And you let me know if you like this one. He submitted one in. Shin chew splints.
What?
Yikes. Try it one more time.
Yeah,
shin chew splints. Worth a try. Hi! Cubs win! Cubs win! What else we got? On Twitter, someone saying mad Cowboys disease.
Bobby smallpox.
Torn Dorn ACL.
Oh, no.
Joe Shingles.
There's a lot of meat on this bone.
Oh, my God.
Bruce Knee.
Bruce Knee! Bruce Knee! Up next. Oh, my God. The big story everybody is missing in this Women's World Cup. Keep it on the drive.
Is the Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920. Now back to the drive with Josh Graham.
The love I'm sending ain't making it through to your heart.
So KD announced that he had underwent Achilles surgery earlier today, surgery on his Achilles. Confirming that news on his Instagram page. Cam Newton is throwing footballs. And he's been doing so for a month or so now, according to Albert Breer of SI. But we're getting to the most important headline now. It's time for the Bachelorette Minute, and we have a special guest who specifically wanted to come on today to talk about the Bachelorette. It's ACC reporter from the Greensboro News and Record, Brant Wilkerson-New. Hi, Brant.
Hello, Josh. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. You've been traveling all over the place. You've been in Minnesota, driving across the country. You went to Alaska. But maybe we'll get to that at a later time because we have important things to discuss. But let's get to ridiculous imaging. We had our production manager put together. I'd like to picture he slaved away over hours to put this together. Let's get to the Bachelorette Minute.
Showtime! Welcome to
The Bachelorette Minute with Josh Graham.
Okay, let's get to what happened last night. And let's start with the guys who are gone. Luke S. he bailed out. He was going head-to-head with Luke P. Luke P. was talking smack about Luke S. The entire house is against this meathead and Luke P., who we'll get to in a second, but it just seemed like Luke S. got. He knew he wasn't going to win, so he just took his football and went home, Brant. That's exactly what he did, because he knew he wasn't going to win, and he made the fatal mistake of talking about other guys with his one-on-one time with Hannah. It's just a fatal mistake. You shouldn't do it.
Absolutely. You know what? I got to say that, though, Luke S., I'll give him a little bit of a benefit of a doubt, because he knew that he had been beaten. He knew that he had been bested by the better or worse man, depending on how you want to look at it. And he pushed his chips in and he went home, which that is to be respected in some ways. You got to know your strengths. You got to know that sometimes that you're not going to come out on top. So what better to do than to quit?
John Paul Jones was lovable for the weeks he was on this show. He was the comedic element of the show, who always came in and gave us a laugh, whether it was a ridiculous sweater he was wearing, his just self-confidence that was booming at all points. I mean, we're going to miss this guy. There's always that guy every single year, but what was the highlight of John Paul Jones in your mind?
John Paul Jones is really tough to choose one. I know a really great moment is when he just put back that glass of champagne, like frat boy style, just tilted his head back and emptied it into his mouth. Love that, but that is not nearly the highlight. His mixtape, the highlight of his mixtape, the magnum opus, is absolutely just his commitment to those chicken nuggets. No matter what was happening around him, he was locked in. The focus was there. I mean, it's like the Super Bowl. He's got his one focus, and it was those chicken nuggets, no matter what was happening, no matter what drama. So I appreciate that, and I got a feeling that, you know, we could have a John Paul Jones sighting in the future on maybe a Bachelor or one of those other stupid spinoffs they have.
ACC basketball and football reporter Brant Wilkerson knew with us in the Bachelorette Minute. Luke P. was described by people on the show as the Lukeness monster this week, and things got petty. Garrett and Mike leading the anti-Luke P. charge, but that didn't stop Luke P. from getting a one-on-one date with Hannah. They went to the cliff and started discussing things. Luke P. hasn't given any details of his personal background because Brant, quite frankly, I don't think this is the first time this man, who's a meathead, an ultimate jock, not anybody we'd associate as being bright whatsoever, I think this is the first time he's ever processed emotion.
I definitely agree with that. You know, Luke P. on this show is kind of like Isaiah Thomas in his time with the Knicks. No matter what he does wrong, no matter what he screws up, no matter if he costs the company $10 million in a lawsuit, he's going to stick around for whatever reason, and that was at the expense of John Paul Jones last night, which was just horribly disappointing. You know, Luke P., we had a little bit of a local tie. He played a season of baseball at High Point University, so expect something about that shortly in the pages of the Greensboro News and Record, because I apparently hate myself. Anyway,
you're actually going to do Bachelorette reporting?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, people want to know. When my colleague Adam Houston covered the Tyler Cameron over at Wake Forest, Tyler C., the web traffic was nuts. People love to read about these guys. So, you know, Luke, obviously, from what I can tell, he has two emotions. They are complete despair when Hannah is not talking to him, and just complete confusion when anybody else is talking to him or perhaps running a complicated addition or subtraction problem.
He also dropped I love you, didn't he?
He did say that he was falling in love with her after, like, the first episode.
Ridiculous.
Mildly creepy. Someone pointed out last night that when he was standing behind her on the cliff, it certainly looked like a serial killer looking for his next victim.
Speaking of Tyler C., former ACC quarterback, former Wake Forest quarterback for three games. He faced Florida State, went 0-for-3 in a game with three interceptions. In my mind, you could correct me if I'm wrong, Brant Wilkerson knew, Tyler C. and Jed, the country music singer from Nashville, they're the two favorites to win this, right? Like, those are the two front runners for me.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely got to like those. Those are the five-star recruits here coming in, and they've really set the tone, and you like what they've been able to show you in these first few episodes of the season. But a guy that I've kind of taken a liking to, really like the upside, is Mike. I thought Mike had a pretty strong date last night, and I thought he made a really good point that he was a little bit older and he was more emotionally mature than some of the other guys you're seeing, and that played right out in that episode, just how emotionally immature some of the younger guys are. So I think Mike might make a little run at this thing later.
Brant, great analysis as always. We'll chat with you soon.
Happy to be here.
You got it. That's Brant Wilkerson New, ACC reporter, and that is our Bachelorette Minute. Compelling, gripping stuff. 336-777-1600. On Twitter at SportsHub Triad. Tyler C., former Wake quarterback, Luke P., played a season of baseball at High Point, like Brant noted there. I mean, if you go too big, you go home. So you have to strike that balance. You don't want everyone in the house to hate you, like everyone hated Luke P. And this is advice for life I'm throwing out here, right? Like, you don't want everyone surrounding you. Like, if you work in an office, you don't want everybody in the office to hate you. If everyone hates you, that could, if in any moment of vulnerability of job security, that might lead to you being kicked out of your job. If everyone in the office isn't willing to get your back. That's what happened to Luke P. here. Luke P., like, everyone hated him. And even though I think Hannah was attracted to him, it didn't matter. There's a reason why everyone hated him. And that ultimately led to him leaving.
What was that reason again? Why did everybody hate him? Was he doing
He tackled Luke S. in rugby when a play was over. And he was also interrupting other guys when they had time with Hannah. He also told her that he loved her very early on, which is easy to detect as BS.
So,
and then he started talking about other guys to Hannah, saying that they're here for the wrong reasons, which then led to Luke S. feeling like he got, and he left last night.
So he sounds like a sensitive yet manipulative thug.
Jock. Guy who would wear a head. He looks just like Bryce Harper, except with a headband and unwilling to process emotion.
Headband? Why is he walking around with a headband if he's not doing sports? Like, he's walking around the house with a headband?
Oh, no, when he was playing rugby.
Oh, okay.
They had, like, a photo shoot with animals, and he was wearing a headband in it. This might be a flat statement that I might regret. It might lead to flames climbing high enough to end my career. But there aren't many people that wear the headband outside of the NBA that I like. If you're wearing the headband outside of the NBA, odds are I'm not a fan of you. Actually, it's a specific combo. It's the headband tank top combo.
You mean like if they're in Walmart or something? Like
in general, if you're wearing the headband tank top combo, odds are I don't like you.
So like that doesn't count. Like if you're playing pickup ball somewhere, right?
I said outside of basketball.
So
outside of a basketball court, if you're wearing a headband and a tank top, I don't like you.
So you don't like that fashion sense?
No. If you wear that, you're probably a specific kind of person that wears medium t-shirts / polos and backward hats.
That's kind of judgmental of you, isn't it?
It is. I'm not saying I'm proud. I just try to be honest on this show. 336-777-1600. But I will be honest. I didn't watch last night's episode live. I had to listen on a podcast and watch on DVR because I went to watch Booksmart last night, and I strongly suggest that. I can't think of a cooler story in Hollywood right now than the star of this movie. It's been billed as Superbad 2.0. You remember Superbad?
One of my favorites.
Great comedy. Jonah Hill, the first movie, he really broke out as a star, which led to other big roles for him. And now he's a great actor in Hollywood. He's been that way for about a decade now. Michael Cera, too. What, it's essentially the same movie with women as the lead. So instead of Michael Cera and Jonah Hill, you have two women, and one of those leading women, Beanie Feldstein, who is the younger sister of, you guessed it, Jonah Hill. And she was a revelation. She was so great. The soundtrack's awesome. The music's awesome. The story is pretty much the story of Superbad, almost to a T, but it is so wickedly funny. I couldn't suggest it anymore.
I was wondering if the same people that did Superbad, that whole crew, Seth Rogen, what's his name?
I'd imagine they approve of it because, again, it's Jonah Hill's younger sister.
Well, it says Will Ferrell and Adam McKay produced it, or they're in the production team. So there's a lineage there. There's a connection of sorts between
But also the Hill family.
Yeah. I want to see it. So would you recommend? It's good?
Completely. It's the best movie I've seen this year, and I watch a lot of movies.
Wow.
But it's still very early on. Post-Oscars, the movies I've seen the last 3 months, I liked it more than I liked The Lad, and I liked it more than some of the others I watched in March, which weren't great movies. But Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's going to come out in the next month or so. You got this racing movie with Matt Damon and Christian Bale. Excited about that. There's been this trailer I've seen the last three movies I've gone to. It's A Dog's Purpose. It's a sequel to it. Who goes to see A Dog's Purpose? If you're one of these people, 336-777-1600, you know what they're trying to do to you, right? Like, if you're going to see A Dog's Purpose, you know what you're in for, right? You're going to be sad. You're going to cry. They're trying to get you with dogs. They're trying to Marley and me you. That's what they want to do. And you don't want to get Marley and me'd.
I would imagine if you're going into that movie, you're aware of that, though. Like, you're not going to be tricked.
Right. So why are you seeking that out?
Some people like to be made to cry. I've noticed that. I thought it was
strange. Is that true? Do people go out of their way to cry the same way they go out of their way, say, to be scared and watch a scary movie?
How else do you explain The Notebook?
Yeah, I've heard people say, I need a good cry type
of
thing.
What does that mean? I need a good cry.
Recommend something on Netflix to
usually,
make me cry.
Usually, the context of I need a good cry is music, though. Like, I'm listening to Adele, Someone Like You, and eating a carton of ice cream while doing so.
No, I usually see, more often than not, it's people asking for movies or TV shows that are going to make them feel sad or cry or emotional, and they want it. They want that kind of sadness injection in their life, which I don't understand. But
what's the best night to go to the movies?
Mondays.
See, last night, I always go on Tuesdays. Why Monday?
Nobody's there.
Well, no one was there last night.
Mondays and Tuesdays.
Monday through Wednesday probably would be the spot.
I don't remember the last time I ever went on a Friday or a Saturday.
I mean, that's when movies are opening more often than not, right?
And they charge extra on the weekends now. Some places charge extra to charge like a weekend fee.
They kind of got to now. Half these movies, they release them in your home devices.
I love empty theaters. It's great. Like, you can actually be on your phone if you wanted to. Even though I'm not on my phone really during movies, but like if I get a text message I need to respond to, I don't have to worry about being insensitive to people around me.
Back to Booksmart, the writer of the script, Emily Halpern. I thought her name was familiar to me, so I went to go look for her. She's a producer on Blackish, so there's a connection there too. So if you
would really enjoy the movie,
I'm thinking about checking it out.
It's a very good movie. You are listening to The Sports Time. And The Drive is brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks Restaurant, Haines Mall Boulevard in Winston-Salem, the place to watch the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. Also, Game 6 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night. I was talking about Game 7 for the Stanley Cup, and I almost said Game 7. Something else came out instead of 6.
As long as it wasn't a curse word.
It was not.
Okay.
Game 6 tomorrow, NBA Finals. You could watch it. Haines Mall Boulevard in Winston-Salem at Twin Peaks. Nailed it. Dez, what do you got on our Ticket to the House stories today?
So Aaron found this story earlier during the show, and I'm going to send you the link to it so you can see the video during the commercial break, and then we're going to explain what we're trying to watch. That's to do with a Colorado woman who caught something really particular on her security camera. We're going to try to figure out if this is something that's real or if this is something that's doctored.
All right. We take it to the house next.